1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Father, we thank Thee again this morning. Thou hast made this abundant provision for us of Scripture to teach us of Yourself and Your ways. We pray that this might be accomplished in our own hearts this morning as we look into it in Jesus' name. Amen. Believing on His name. I think the world has always been name conscious. Way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, where the Tower of Babel was built, the reasoning behind it was, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered and become of no consequence. Today in our day, if you really want to get something done, you have to go to the top. You go to the big boss. You get the name of the boss because it carries more weight. And I think that sometimes as Christians we forget the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Remember when David ran toward Goliath with his sling in his hand? He cried out, "You come with spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord our God." And so David teaches us there that the name of the Lord our God is the name that is full of power for present, everyday victory in our lives. Romans 10:13 tells us, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The power of the name of the Lord. Our prayers are commonly ended in the name of Jesus. And here in this portion of Scripture, John talks to those who believe on the name of the Son of God. Now the word here, believe, pisteuo, means to rely upon or to have confidence in. It does not merely refer to mental assent, but it means to cast our being upon, to have complete confidence in. And John writes to those who believe, who rely upon, who have confidence in the name of the Son of God. The name of Jesus Christ, referring to all that He is personally and to all that He stands for. Today we are told from time to time that if you want to avoid problems, stick to a name brand. And as we see the name of the brand, we have come to our mind certain expectations. And the same with the name of the Lord Jesus. As we consider His name, it reminds us of all that He is and all that He stands for. And we are then to rely upon who he is and what He stands for. We are to have confidence in His name. And so here in this verse in 1 John 5:13, John speaks to us regarding three things related to believing on the name of the Son of God. First of all, I believe he refers to the fact that believing on His name, the name of the Son of God, is the evidence of regeneration. Now John writes here to these people as believers. He calls them in many occasions brethren. He calls them beloved. And so he is writing to them as believers. And he writes to them here in verse 13 as those who believe on the name of the Son of God. That means that these brethren to whom he's writing are characterized by the fact that they believe on the name of the Son of God. We find this true in other portions of Scripture. For example, the Ethiopian eunuch with whom Philip dealt in the book of Acts. As Philip explained the gospel to him, and the man then requested the privilege of giving testimony of his faith through baptism, he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And that statement, then, of faith in Jesus Christ, the evidence of his regeneration, the requirement for his testimony of this in baptism, the testimony of having been born again by confidence in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We find also in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we have four verbs we'd like to note there in those two verses. John 1, 12 and 13. First of all, the verses say, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born." Now we have four verbs up to that point in those two verses. The verb received is in the aorist tense, and you remember our stating before that this is a point of action in past time, a specific act in past time, received. Secondly, be, rather than become, it could be translated also, be children of God. Once again, the aorist tense, a specific act in past time. Then, even to them that believe on his name. And it's interesting that it's the very same phrase that we have here in 1 John 5:13, the identical phrase we have in John 1:12. There are those who would tell us in 1 John 5:13 that this additional phrase, "and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God," should not be there. And part of the reasoning is that it is redundant. And yet we have the very same, quote, unquote, redundancy in John 1:12. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And there the word believe is in the present tense. "Then which were born," once again, is in the aorist, a specific act in the past. That means we see here then that the present indication that a person is a child of God, that he has been born into the family of God, is that he believes on the name of the Son of God. Now, this is not the only confirmation. We have additional confirmations of regeneration. In Scripture, for example, in Romans 8:16, we're told that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The testimony then of the Spirit of God in our hearts giving peace gives us assurance that indeed we belong to God. And in that moment of personal faith in Jesus Christ, a peace and joy comes into our hearts. And this assures us, continues to assure us, "I know by the peace of the Spirit of God in my heart that I have been born into God's family." Another additional confirmation, that of being a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." And so we become a different person. Another testimony to the fact of our regeneration. And along that line, we would mention several ways in which we become new persons, several ways in which we note that we have become, rather, new persons. We have mentioned these before, and so you've seen these before, but let's just review them quickly. First of all, we find that we have a new love for Scripture. And I remember the next day after my new birth into the family of God, the first thing I did was look up that little New Testament and begin to read it. A new love for Scripture, 1 Peter 2:2. Secondly, a new awareness of right and wrong, things that we didn't realize before were wrong. All of a sudden, we begin realizing this is not pleasing to God. Hebrews 5:13 to 14, a new quickening of our conscience. Thirdly, there is a new desire to be like Jesus Christ. This is in conformity with the promise in Romans 8:29. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, and there is in the regenerate person that desire to want to be like Jesus Christ, to be like his Savior. Then fourthly, there is the new social pressure from those who are convicted by your changed life. All of a sudden, some of those old friends aren't so friendly anymore. And they are convicted by the fact that you do not run with them in the same excesses that before you ran. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 to 5. And so they put pressure upon you to try to get you to forsake this new life. Fifthly, there is the new desire to proclaim Christ to others. Before, we resented it when somebody talked to us, and now all of a sudden we find ourselves talking to others, desirous that others also come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Colossians 1, 28 to 29. And then lastly, a new love for other Christians, the people that before we avoided, now we find to be just people we love to be with. 1 John 3:14, love for the brethren in our hearts that we just did not have before. Before they couldn't drag us to church, and now they can't kick us out. And these are very evident changes that come into our lives as we are made by the Spirit of God, new creatures in Christ Jesus. We see these things happen to us. We see these things come into our lives. And these are helpful, these changes that we notice. Just as also the witness of the Holy Spirit giving peace in our hearts. But the immediate and basic confirmation of my regeneration still is the absolute assurance in the depths of my being that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that very moment in which I said in my heart and then in the baptismal service audibly, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was God's evidence in my life of my regeneration, being born into his family. We read in Acts chapter 13, verse 48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So we find stated once again that our believing that Jesus is the Son of God is the evidence that we were ordained to eternal life. As I sense then in my being the desire and the ability to believe on the name of the Son of God, I then can rejoice that I already have the very first indication of being a member of the family of God. Believing on his name is the evidence of regeneration. Secondly, believing on his name is the assurance of preservation. There are several words here we would like to look at. John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Now the word here, "know," is not the same one that we've been studying all along in 1 John. The word that we have seen most of up to this point, the word "know," was ginosko, and we've mentioned to you many times this is the knowledge of experience. However, this is not the word that is used here in this verse. The word here, the verb is eido, and in the present tense it means to perceive. But when it is used in the perfect tense, it means absolute knowledge. It means something that you saw at one time and that you continue to see. Remember, that's the perfect tense. An act in past time with continuing present consequences. And so you perceived it at one time. You continue to perceive it. The idea then being that here we have clear, evident, absolute knowledge. This is not the experiential knowledge then, but a completeness of mental persuasion so as to leave no doubt. Now, this mental persuasion is based upon Scripture. That's why John then also says in this verse, "These things have I written unto you." And we have there the aorist, which is the past point of action. And so John, it really is not a perfect tense, and John is almost saying, "These things I wrote." In other words, what up to this point I have given you is fully sufficient for you to absolutely know that you have eternal life. And so the Holy Spirit inspired writings of God are the basis of this kind of absolute assurance. "These things I have given to you here in writing are all that you need for a complete assurance that you are sons of God and that you have eternal life." And he says that this then he has written to those who believe. We find the fact then that I find myself believing on his name is not only an evidence of my regeneration in the past, but it is also an assurance of my preservation in the future. Philippians 1:6 tells us, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1:5 tells us that we are kept by the power of God through faith, which is believing, unto salvation. God will continue that which he has begun. And so the result of this then, John says, those of you who believe, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Now, the literal translation here is, John says, I want you to know that you have life that is eternal. Now, they already knew that they had life. With regeneration, we know that we have life. With regeneration, we can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit giving peace to our hearts, and so we know that we have life. As we see the change that God brings into our life, we see that we have life. We see that we have a new life and a different life. And so we can sense the peace of the Spirit of God, we can sense the change in our lives, but we cannot sense eternity. That's why there are some Christians who believe that they can lose their salvation. They can sense that they're saved. They know that they're saved. They sense this by the peace of God in their hearts and the change of God in their lives. But you can't sense eternity. And so those who live by their feelings lack security for eternity, because the eternity that we need for security, the security we need for eternity is based upon Scripture. Eternal life then is assured by the persuasion of Scripture. God hath given to us eternal life, we saw in the previous verse, verse 11. Now, since salvation is by grace, then it can only be eternal. Salvation that is by grace can only be eternal. If my salvation were not absolutely eternal, then it would have to be by works. Because in order to lose it, I would have to do or not do something that if I did not do, that something that if I did do or didn't do, I wouldn't have lost it. That sounds a little complicated. If salvation were not absolutely eternal, it would have to be by works. Because in order to lose it, I'd have to either do something or not do something. That if I did do it or didn't do it, I would not have lost it. And so it has to be by merit, it has to be by works, if it is not by grace, and if it is not eternal. That's why in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The ancient shepherd would place that young lamb over his shoulders, around his neck, with the legs coming down in the front, and he would grab the legs with his hands. And that lamb, held by the feet around the neck of the shepherd, wasn't going anyplace. Now the word pluck here in John, "no man shall pluck them out of my hand," means to grab by surprise, to snatch away. And what Jesus is saying, he says, "my sheep are in my hands." And he doesn't mean on an outstretched hand where somebody can come along and knock it off. He means they're over my shoulder and I have all four legs gripped by my two hands, and that lamb isn't going anyplace. And nobody's going to get it away from me. And this is the assurance that God gives to those who are His. This is what John tells us here in verse 13. And this is very important. Because John says here, "unless you know that you have eternal life, then you will have problems trusting God for your daily life." And this is the thrust of this last phrase. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." He could have stopped there. But it was important that he not stop there, because he says, "and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Present tense, be believing. In other words, my ability to day by day believe God for His working in my life is related to my assurance of having eternal life through Jesus Christ. These two things, says John, are vitally related. And if I do not have that assurance of eternal life, it means that I have some works mixed into my salvation. Because if it is a salvation by grace, it has to be eternal. And if I do not have a salvation that is by grace, then I will not be living day by day by grace. If I cannot trust God for His grace for eternity, then I will not be trusting God day by day for His grace to live now. That's why the third thing that John stresses here is that believing on His name, is the basis of sanctification. In the book of Galatians, Paul scolds the Galatians for falling for that terrible lie that the Christian life can begin by grace and continue by works. Paul says that is absolutely impossible. The Christian life begins by grace through faith, and the Christian life continues day by day by grace through faith. And so our daily transformation into the image of Christ is a walk of faith, believing on His name. If we know that we have eternal life, some would say, what's so important about continuing to believe? John says here that continuing to believe on His name is basic to our sanctification, our growth in Christ. We continue to believe on His name not to keep saved. Some think that, if they don't continue to believe, then they're going to lose their salvation, and they make a work out of believing. Believing on His name is not to keep saved. God takes care of that. Christ said, no one is going to get them out of my hands. Believing on His name is not to keep saved. Believing on His name is to keep growing. And believing on His name, therefore, is the basis of sanctification, our growth in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11 and verse 40, we have the incident of Lazarus. And Jesus said to Martha, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Now, when Lazarus became ill, the two sisters sent word down to Jesus, a 2-day journey away, saying, he whom thou lovest is ill. And Jesus sent word back, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. In other words, the purpose of this illness is not to take Lazarus away from you, but to greatly glorify God in your midst. By the time the messenger got back, Lazarus had been dead for 2 days already. And the messenger came back with this good news. And he says to the sisters, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And Lazarus had been dead for 2 days. And then Jesus came 2 days later, and Martha said, Lord, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. And so Jesus said to her, Martha, didn't I tell you that the purpose of this was not his death, but to glorify God? And so the life of believing is seeing God get glory out of absolutely impossible situations. And as we face these impossible situations, that's the picture we get. We can see ourselves in the tomb already. And we get the idea, the purpose of this is God's just going to ruin me. How can I just let God handle this situation? I can see where it's just going to be my ruin. And God's word to us, as it was to Martha, this disaster is not for your ruin, but that God might be glorified. And so this takes a constant believing on the name of the Son of God, that we might continue to grow in Christlikeness. He works His character in us as we believe on Him in distressing situations of life. And so John says, it's important that you have that assurance that your salvation is by grace through faith, that you might then be able to continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. And in the daily situations of life, believe that your salvation out of your difficult situations will be by grace through faith. And so John says in this verse, I write unto you as born again people, which is very evident because you believe on the name of the Son of God. I write unto you that you might have the absolute assurance that you have eternal life now and forever. And this is very important, because unless you are convinced that your salvation is eternal, that it is strictly by grace through faith, you will not then believe God for a daily life that is strictly by grace through faith. And so that's why John writes to them so clearly, so emphatically, a verse that is used by us so often because of its tremendous need in our lives. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we pray. Father, this morning, we thank you how you have made provision for us for all of eternity. You began the work and you're going to finish it. And you also made provision for us for right now in time. And in our daily lives, we live by the very same process by which you saved us, by grace through faith. And so we pray that we might learn to trust you day by day for our daily circumstances, in the very same way that you have given to us the absolute assurance that we will be with you forever in heaven. We thank you, Father, that you've given us life. This is a life that begins right now. We enjoy it right now. We live it right now. We thank you for it. You've given to us life. You've given to us life that is eternal. And we shall enjoy this kind of life with you forever. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.